This broadcast is sponsored by His Way Out Ministries with our home base of ministry operation in Bakersfield, California. For more information about His Way Out Ministries, please visit HisWayOut.com.
Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, "Once gay, always gay." How do you respond? "My child just told me he's gay. What can I do?" What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Today, everyone knows or cares deeply for someone who experiences same-sex attraction, sexual confusion, or practices homosexuality. Unfortunately, because of false teaching and deception, some men and women have created a false identity through the lens of sexuality instead of the eyes of God's Word. Some might question, is an entire program dedicated to the subject of homosexuality really that necessary? At His Way Out Ministries, we believe it is because it is only with the truth, God's absolute truth, clear in our hearts, we can go forward to have conversations that change our culture and reveal the love of Christ to all the world. Joining me on the broadcast today is the co-founder of Equipped to Love, a resource for individuals, family members, friends, and church leaders, also co-creative director with Elizabeth Wanning of Changed, Once Gay Stories, and author of his recently released new book titled The Journey Out, How I Followed Jesus Away from Gay. It's a pleasure once again to welcome back to the broadcast, Ken Williams. Ken, good morning and welcome back.
Well, it's good to be here. Thanks, Philip.
We are going to be obviously turning our attention largely to the content of your new book, and you and I all know all too well that the subject of homosexuality is a vast topic. So the question is always, where do we begin? So I'm going to direct our attention to, as you do, the readers within your book, in terms of the subject of demystifying homosexuality. What do you mean by that? That's an intriguing word, demystifying.
Well, I think for the people experiencing it, it's very mysterious, you know, even for the people themselves. Certainly for the people around us, it is. And, you know, because culture has really, I'm sorry to say, been driven by activism rather than really trying to meet the needs of affected people, I think there's just a lot of misinformation out there about what homosexuality is and where it comes from and all those types of things. And in my experience, and with all of the many hundreds of people I've met with over the years, there are underlying pains. There are things that have happened in people's lives that underlie those sexual feelings. And so, you know, in my mind, care and love involves slowing down, looking at the person, taking time for them, and really just making a safe place for them to share deeply, you know, what has happened in their lives, what they fear, what they what pains are in their childhood or in their past, and seeing if God wants to speak to those, you know, seeing if the love of Jesus has found its way into every part of each of our lives. And that's, I don't know about you, Phil, that's what transformed me, was when I was able to open up painful places and the light of Jesus shone through and brought, you know, healing to me.
Absolutely. And I concur. I understand exactly what you're sharing with us. You know, I am still troubled to this day that when I'm out and about sharing in churches and conferences, as you do the same, one of the questions that I am asked frequently is, there are so many mixed messages being generated today about homosexuality. Where do I find truth? And I would submit that if we are a true truth seeker, whether we're Christian or not, if we really want to come to a place of greater understanding about homosexuality, we've got to at some point consult and go to the Bible. Would you agree?
100%. All of the dramatic stories of breakthrough that I know of from all the many people that I do know that have had that experience, they talk about having gone through an intense season of pursuing the Lord and finding out who he was from the Word. Absolutely.
Within your book, do you share stories of the transformation of both men and women?
Yes, I do.
So you have testimonies within the content of the book itself?
Yeah, there are 14 testimonies in addition to my own in the book, yes.
And all the men and women that I know around the world that have experienced transformation in their lives, in other words, they are not just suppressing strong feelings or emotions. There's been a true resolvement of same-sex attraction in their lives. I'm not aware of a single man or woman that has made that journey out, if you will, apart from a deep, genuine, personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. How about you?
I mean, there might be one out there, but I haven't met them. The stories I know, these are amazing, beautiful people, and they reek of I love Jesus. Yes.
Yes. And it's unfortunate today that the subject matter of change from homosexuality today does not really get a lot of very good press, does it?
No. No, it gets a lot of really bad press, and sadly, there's just a lot of untruth. So, you know, if you watch some different movies that were made in the last several years on that topic, there's absolute misinformation. I mean, it's intentional deceit in many cases, because I know people that were involved in it, went through ministries that there are movies about, had a wonderful experience, and can point out what the lies were because they were there.
Yes.
So there's a lot of misinformation.
Well, I'm recalling a not so long ago interview I had with a reporter, and he began by challenging me. He said, I cannot believe that you are continuing to state and share and preach and teach that it's possible to change from homosexuality. And I said, well, why does that surprise you? And he said, well, you know, with conversion therapy and reparative therapy being debunked. And I said, well, wait just a moment. Let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. There's a lot of very good elements to reparative therapy and conversion therapy. But at His Way Out Ministries, all that we have ever done and all that we continue to do is based on the command of Christ to go and make disciples. I said, you do understand there's a world of difference between discipleship making and reparative and or conversion therapy, right? And he said, huh?
Yeah.
So we come back once again to there's a lot of truth on the subject matter that is either being dismissed or ignored or just not totally, people are not willing to receive. Are you experiencing the same as well?
Yeah, and I think any time that someone slaps a label on something, you know, I mean, nobody likes to be labeled. Nobody likes to be thrown into a big category, right? We're all unique, and we all have our own unique journeys with God. And so when someone slaps a label like that over all kinds of help, ministry, therapy, you know, talk, therapy, all that, when you put one label across it and defame the whole thing, you got to wonder, why is someone doing that? Because if we really care about the individuals who are themselves distraught in many cases over gender confusion, same-sex attraction, whatever it is. I mean, there are all kinds of flavors of sexual brokenness out there, what people find themselves in. And when we slap a label over all of it and say, all of this is bad, how can that be? How can every effort to help someone be bad? And so, you know, I was suicidal, Philip, at 17 years old over my confusion. And if I had not, you know, if there had been therapy bans in place back then, I would have ended my life. I mean, I only am alive today because I was able to find a psychologist who, at 17 years old, as a minor, who offered, you know, to help me. And nobody coerced me. Nobody told me what I should believe. Or I told him what I wanted, and he helped me pursue it with the Lord. So, we've really got to understand the truth here.
Yes. And what really is really, really critical is the formation of a real relationship with Jesus, knowing him not just as Savior, but as Lord. And when we know him as Lord, he will also be Lord of our sexuality. Now, that does not mean that we will not continue to experience temptation. We're all tempted in a variety of ways. Temptation does not mean that we're not saved. It doesn't mean that we're not moving forward in Christ. But relationship with Jesus is absolutely paramount. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And, you know, there's one of the chapters in my book talks about surrender. And I'm talking about surrendering to Jesus' lordship. And that is the game changer that I have seen. There are two or three game changers in my experience. One of them is complete and total surrender to Jesus as Lord, so beyond just Savior. Because I lived with him as my Savior at 8 years old, but I didn't surrender in that kind of way until I was probably 31 years old. And so all of the time from, you know, having first discovered my same-sex attraction at 13, 14 years old, somewhere in there, all the way until I'm 30 or 31, all of my efforts to find freedom from homosexuality, all that, were very, very minimal progress until the Lord put his finger on the fact that I wasn't willing to let go of my right to find gratification from, you know, sex or a sexualized experience with another male. And when I let go of that and I put that on the altar and I made him Lord over every aspect of my life, basically it's death to self.
Yes.
When I did that, everything got easier because now I didn't have to try to save myself. I didn't have to worry about me. I let him worry about me, and I got about his business. And it's like the scripture that says, the Lord watches over the watch of those, you know, who watch over him. So it's like, you know, if we will be about God's business, he'll take care of our business. So absolutely, Philip.
Yes. Dying to self is not easy, and let's be frank and honest, it's often real, real messy, is it not?
It is. It is. And that's why so few, I think, go on that journey. It looks like, I mean, we're such an entitled generation, you know. I mean, we get everything we need. Most of what we want, we can get in a few seconds, you know, or at least access to that information or a picture of it or whatever. And we're not conditioned to wait. Mm. We're not conditioned to put our trust in another. But I'm telling you, you know, what really brings fulfillment in life, you know, is being bonded, being connected to another. So being connected to the Lord deeply, meaningfully, and being connected to other people in an intimate, non-sexual love, like that brings fulfillment. And so there's great reward behind that door of actually putting trust in another.
I have found over these many years of His Way Out Ministries, especially because we're, again, talking about freedom from same-sex attraction, there seems to be still, even yet today, primarily I'm speaking now of men, there's an expectation, if not often a demand, we want our deliverance microwaved, especially here in America. We don't want to wait for anything. We want everything to be done in the twinkling of an eye. And God, more than not, works through a process. And because we're all unique individuals, he works differently from person to person. But I would submit when it comes to freedom from same-sex attraction, with that demand of, I want this done immediately, God, or I'm out of here, that is very problematic for a lot of men in particular. Have you found the same to be true?
I have. I think it's about sonship, or if you're a female, it's about daughtership of the Lord. And it's an opportunity, when we feel that way, it's an opportunity for deeper trust. If God really is the best being ever in existence, if he really did create everything, if he put the joy and the thrill into sex, he created the concept of sex. He created the concept of joy and fulfillment. You know, if he really is that good, then why would we not trust him?
Yes, yes.
And, you know, but I mean, not everybody has a good experience of, you know, their parents or just people in their lives. And so trust has been broken for so many.
Yes.
I mean, we're born into a fallen world, right? But Jesus is, I mean, you know, he's the only thing that every single time we bet on him, we win.
Yes. But, you know, for me also, Ken, I'll bring it right down to where the rubber meets the road, as the saying goes. the question, can a homosexual really change? If we truly, truly believe in a sovereign, all-powerful God, our answer has to be an unequivocal yes. He says, with him, all things are possible. That little word all, again, is very problematic for a lot of individuals today, especially when it comes to freedom from same-sex attraction. But God in his word is very, very clear that if we look to him, it doesn't mean it's always going to be an easy road. It is a journey. It is a process. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But he works in our lives differently from person to person. And just because sometimes we still have residue of this fallen world in which we live, and by the way, we all will bear the marks of this fallen world in which we live to some degree or another, it doesn't mean because we're still working through things that he's still not for us, he's not against us, and that he is bringing us into a state of maturity. Agree?
100%. 100%. His plans for us are, you know, to prosper us, not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future. And he, you know, there are so many promises in his word, and so much that Jesus provided on the cross for our, you know, I tell people all the time, if you're being tormented over your sexual identity in any fashion, like, Jesus died for that. Jesus died for our peace. The chastisement of our peace was upon him on the cross. And so, you know, I can't promise that nobody will ever be tempted, but the wrestle, the struggle, the torment, the exhaustion, the mental gymnastics, you know, the feeling like I cannot obey, I don't have what it takes to obey, all of that, I tell people, don't take my word for it. I'm not promising you or teaching you anything. Just go read your Bible. Like, God shows up for people, and, you know, he doesn't ask us to do things that he doesn't empower us to do.
I think in many respects, regardless of the habit, the various addictions or compulsive behaviors that many men and women struggle with today, I think the bottom line is we have to arrive at a point in our life of which do I want more, it, whatever it is, or Christ. Now, that may seem very, very overly simplistic to some people, but I really think it's where we all have to arrive because, again, none of us are going to get out of this journey called life without some deep cuts and wounds. Would you agree with that?
Yes, yes. It's you're so right. It's such a shortcut. If people knew the shortcut that total surrender was, everybody would be doing it. My whole life got so much better, so much richer, so much more blessed, all of that, when I finally stopped trying to save myself. You know, the Bible says that those who try to save, you know, their own lives will lose it, you know. Even what you tried to save, you will lose. And so it really is a shortcut to fulfillment, to all of that intimacy being replaced by being fulfilled by the Lord that we were trying to, you know, to solve or to meet those needs ourselves with sex or with, you know, pornography or with a codependent bond upon another person that's unhealthy, all those types of things. I mean, Jesus, he does satisfy.
Yes. All the things of this world in which we grab at trying to fill that void, that deficit, that vacuum in our heart, which stuff cannot fulfill. Only Christ can do that. But we go looking to certain things and certain people to try and get that need met, and it never, ever works, does it?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. I can't remember if this story is in my book or not, but this friend of mine, David Rasmussen, who is in our Changed book of testimonies, I'm going to read this little excerpt to you. He says, at one of my lowest points, I was at a bathhouse, and an unattractive older man approached me. He asked me to have sex, offering to pay me $20. I refused, and he asked me to hug him for $20. I gave him a hug and told him to keep his money. You know, this is not about sex. This is about, am I valuable? This is about, does anyone see me? This is about, can I bond with and feel like I'm valued among the people that surround me and in front of God? And then from there, from my identity being solidified and strong in the Lord, then I'm able to move from there, and God can, you know, can do so much in our lives when he's able to, you know, strip us down and then really make us strong in him. This is so much beyond sex.
that legitimate need to have emotional needs met, that we all, in points of life, go looking to the wrong things and the wrong people trying to get that legitimate need met. And that's where we end up in big-time trouble.
Yes. And it just never even works.
It doesn't.
People may have a thrill for a season of time, but, you know, the devil always takes you further than you want to go and keeps you longer than you want to stay.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. In your book, you talk about key essential areas for growth in Christ. Could you highlight some of those for us?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've already talked about surrender. That's my point number two in the book. Basically, my book is a discipleship journey for people. You don't have to have, you know, a struggle with your sexuality. It would work for anybody. But the first one is vulnerability. You know, so many people miss out on unconditional love and really feeling loved and connected to people because they are failing to really even begin their journey because they don't let anybody in. You know, they're too scared, and I understand that. But vulnerability is kind of job one. It's the starting place in my experience. And then, as I said, surrender is kind of the second discipleship key. And then relationships. I talk quite a bit about relationships because I've yet to meet a person struggling in their sexual identity that had all of their relationships thriving and healthy around them. You know, it turns out, there were things between them and their parents, or someone in their family wounded them or abused them, and that's changed the way that they view everybody of that sex or all men of that type. You know, things like that. There are an inability to bond with others of your same sex, or you've judged a certain type of person, like all of that. It needs some rehabilitation, and doing that brings great fulfillment and identity, which is the fourth point, is really looking at our identity not through the eyes that the world tries to get us to see identity, but through how God sees us. Because, you know, today what's clear is, you're supposed to pick your identity from what your sexuality is or what your sexual temptations are. But God never addressed people that way. He never talked about homosexuals. He only talked about people who have homosexual sex, for example. So God didn't label people or identify people by the behaviors. He formed us either male or female, and that was our identity. You know, man, you can take woman of God as your identity or man of God as your identity. And when you look at life from that place and are listening for the Lord to lead you, then, you know, great change can happen in our lives and great fulfillment.
Okay, now you're pushing a major button that I have, and that's with regard to the gay Christian identity, which is, to me, is just absolutely absurd. I mean, you're putting sexuality before Christ. I mean, that in itself should tell an individual, I'm off course here, but many have bought into the gay Christian identity, believing that they can not only be same-sex attracted, but they have license, they have freedom to practice homosexuality, and that is a complete contradiction of Scripture.
It is, and you know what, Philip, one of my passions is that the church would begin to take ownership of this problem, because in my opinion, it is the failure of the church at large to be able to know how to offer inner healing to hurting people that we have this scenario.
Yes.
If these wonderful people who find themselves finally giving in to a homosexual lifestyle had received the kind of inner healing and unconditional love that you and I have, they wouldn't be in that place, you know. And so I want those people to have real deep fulfillment that doesn't come from a hookup. Yes. I want them to really have peace inside, you know.
I wonder, Ken, what you think, because I really think in many, many respects we have progressed to the point that the crisis really, in so many respects, is no longer about homosexuality. Really, where we have arrived is that we are facing now a crisis of truth.
We are. We're facing a crisis of truth and a crisis of connection, because people have decided that we make our own truth, or truth is subjective, and that's the whole thing about truth, is you can stand on it. It doesn't ever change. It's written into the fabric of the universe by God, you know, and so it's that sets everyone up for deception, because the truth, you know, according to the book of John, truth makes us free.
Yes, yes.
But we also, that also is connected with talking about how if we are his disciples, so if we know God and we're traveling along with others who know God, then that's the place where we experience freedom. And so we've got a breakdown of connection, and we've got a breakdown of truth.
We only have a couple of minutes left, Ken. I'm getting the heads up from Greg, the station manager here. And before we do run out of time, I also want to touch on that within your book, you offer a lot of wisdom and support for parents, family members, friends, and pastors. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, you know what? I mean, I know, you know, there are so many different stories out there of transformation, but mine happened through the church. So my heart breaks for the people that did not find the healing they needed or the encouragement they needed, transformation, whatever, in the church. I did.
Yes.
God led me to churches that really were able to help me find myself. And so, yes, I put that type of counsel in the book because we really do need to realize that preaching at people just doesn't usually work. You know, coming close and really listening and becoming a student of the other person's life positions us to be able to speak into that person's life. But
yes,
people don't care what you know until they know that you care, you know?
Yes.
So I break those types of things down for pastors and for parents and loved ones.
Well, thankfully, you and I were among the fortunate in that we did have strong support, love, and encouragement from our local church. I shared many times on this broadcast, I'll say it once again, had it not been for the church, a body of believers, who stood first and foremost on the truth and the authority of Scripture and the Lordship of Christ, you and I would not be having this conversation right now.
Yes, exactly. I remember my mentor, who had also come out of homosexuality, he said one time, you know, I said something that represented that I was believing the wrong thing, and he just laughed at me, and he said, "Ken, you're so messed up." And I said, I know, and I felt so loved.
Uh-huh.
I know that is offensive to this generation, but someone had a plan for my life.
Yes.
that could see farther than me. And he had put so much love and affirmation into me that when he told me that, I was able to lean into him and to say, oh my gosh, I'm loved even if I'm broken. You know?
Ken, we got about 30 seconds left, so before we run out of time, how does one get a copy of your book?
TheJourneyOut.me is my website, and you can find multiple of my resources there, and specifically my book, The Journey Out, How I Followed Jesus Away from Gay.
Well, sir, you are greatly, greatly appreciated. I'm sure, I'm confident your book's going to be well, well received. And I would just say this to you, keep giving them heaven, brother.
I will do my best, Philip, and I know you will.
God bless you. Thanks again. For all of our listeners, once again, thanks for tuning in. Hope you'll join us again next week, same time, same station. Until then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast, dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large, with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.
This broadcast is sponsored by His Way Out Ministries with our home base of ministry operation in Bakersfield, California. For more information about His Way Out Ministries, please visit HisWayOut.com.